Typically at this time, we have a video or a song that introduces the morning, but I decided that I would be the video and that I would remind us by reading the passage of Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem. And then I just show you some slides because I reflected upon that at the first or middle of this month while I was there. And I just want to show you some of the things that I've discovered. Our king enters. John tells the story this way. Word got out among the Jews that Jesus was back in town. And the people came to take a look, not only at Jesus, but also at Lazarus. Lazarus, who'd been raised from the dead. Because people were interested in Lazarus, who'd been risen from the dead, the high priest plotted to kill Lazarus. Now, that might tell you that they just quite didn't get it. You know, here's a guy. I mean, like, did they want Jesus to raise him a second time? I mean, what? Come on. Guys, hello. Time to wake up. Something really amazing is happening. So they plotted to kill Lazarus because so many of the Jews were going over and believing in Jesus on account of him. Jesus demonstrated the power of his kingdom, life over death. The next day, the huge crowd that had arrived for the feast, that would be the Feast of Unleavened Bread, were moving towards Passover. They heard that Jesus was entering Jerusalem, so they broke off palm branches and they went out to meet him, and they cheered, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in God's name." Yes, the King of Israel. Jesus got a young donkey and rode it, just as the scriptures said. "No fear, daughter Zion. See how your king comes, riding a donkey's colt." The disciples didn't notice the fulfillment of many scriptures at that time. But after Jesus was glorified, they remembered that what was written about him matched what was done to him. Now, last night, I watched a little bit of the Final Four, and I noticed something. People get really excited about college basketball. And for some reason, whether they are, you know, on the camera and their face is shown all over the United States, it's like they're not intimidated at all by really looking foolish. And I thought about you and me. How, you know, when was the last time we just let it rip? I mean, just absolutely didn't care. You were just excited. You were just enthusiastic. You were out of control. Yeah, Kylie does that. Is that Kylie? That describes Kylie. Well, we're going to do that, okay? Just, we need to do that. So would you stand up? And would you pick out your favorite phrase? There's three phrases. I'd like you to pick out your favorite phrase. And then I'm going to count the three, and I want you to yell it. I mean, like, as if you were really there, like this was really happening, and you were really real. The king is coming. That's even better than, oh, fall off the stage, whoever's going to win the Final Four. And then I'm going to count the three, and you're going to shout again, pick another, but start with your favorite. Then I'm going to count the three, and we're going to shout again and pick the one you haven't. So we're... Everybody gets to say all three at different times, but you get to be the one in charge. All right, now this we need to... Let me turn my microphone off. That would not be fair. and a little out of control. That's great. Jesus was staying in Bethany. Hello there, Stephen. You see the hilltop in the distance? Bethany, the town of Bethany, sits on top of that hill. And I don't know if for sure, I don't know, but this might be, the Mount of Olives is a ridge. So Jesus left Bethany and he came to the southern side of the Mount of Olives. And he came over the Mount of Olives to come into or toward Jerusalem. So as he came over the top of the Mount of Olives, this is what he began to see. Not the skyscrapers in the back. This is not there. Take that out. This Dome of the Rock is not there. Alat's Kamas. But this is the Temple Mount. And there's a path. We can't really see it, but there's a pathway that's going right here. So somewhere close to that pathway coming down the Mount of Olives is where Jesus was coming to enter into Jerusalem. And people were shouting just like we did. Interestingly, as he's coming down the Mount of Olives, there's a graveyard, there's cemeteries all on the Mount of Olives. And then as Jerusalem comes into sight, there's also, next slide, this is all cemetery. And, I mean, that's been added. I mean, it wasn't there. But right now, when you think about that, wow, Jesus came over there and began to look at this city. And remember, Jesus said, oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem. If you'd only known the time of God's coming. So he's looking out over this ancient city. The wall is of the ancient wall, the old city of Jerusalem. And he came down through Gethsemane, and Gethsemane was an olive garden. This was the coolest olive tree that I could find to take a picture of. And they went across to the temple. Again, the slides don't quite show you, so I'll point out. This is the Mount of Olives. This is Gethsemane. So he came down here. You can't quite make out the temple, but it's right here. So he came down through here. The Kidron Valley is right here, and it came around to the south end of the Temple Mount. And it came to a place called the Seven Steps. Now, this is really cool. This was not excavated the first time that I visited. But if you can make it out, there are three arches. One, two, three. That was the entrance to the Temple Mount in Jesus' day. And these are called the Seven Steps. And that's where Jesus, as a rabbi, would have stood and where he would have sat. And his students would have sat around him on the steps. And that's where he would have taught. So when Jesus is coming triumphantly into Jerusalem, this is where he's going. This is where the church began. This was like awesome to be here. I mean, right above it would have been Solomon's portico. That's where the church first met. The day of Pentecost happened here. So, you know, we can go back and we can visit these places where these sounds, this king is entering. This is a day of great celebration, a day of great anticipation, a great day that really changed the course of our world. But it leads me to, in all of this fanfare, in the beginning of this historic week, we come back to, but in some ways, what was it for? What did Jesus accomplish for us? And that's where I want to go back to where we were in Ephesians 4. Jesus did. He handed out gifts. This is the passage. If you'd like to stand with me as I read from Ephesians 4. The oneness that we enjoy, the unity of the body of Christ, doesn't mean that you should all look and speak and act the same. Out of the generosity of Christ, each of us has given his own gift. And the text for this is, he climbed the high mountain. He captured the enemy. He seized the booty. He handed it out in gifts to the people. Is it not true that the one who climbed up also climbed down to the valley of earth? The one who climbed down is the one who climbed back up, up to highest heaven. He handed out gifts above and below, filled heaven with his gifts, filled earth with his gifts. He handed out gifts of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, to equip, to train Christ's followers in skilled servant work, working within Christ's body, the church, until we're all moving rhythmically and easily with each other, efficient and graceful in response to God's Son, fully mature adults, fully developed within and without, fully alive like Christ. Please have a seat. Last week I asked the question, and we shared part of the answer. What will it take? What will it take for us to be fully alive like Jesus, fully developed within and without? Or as another translation says, what will it take for us to measure up to the full and complete standard of Christ? What will it take for us to be fully mature in our faith? That we would be mature in the Lord? What will it take for us to move rhythmically and easily with each other, efficient and graceful in response to God's Son, till we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son? What will it take? What will it take? Or is that, you know, is it just the ideal? Is it just a platitude? Is it just something we throw out there? It's nice to say, great to hope for, it's not going to happen. Well, last week we tried to, through demonstration, which is still here, demonstrate that it takes all of us. It takes the church universal, being who Jesus wants us to be, to represent the full stature of Jesus. That demonstration, we really, I think, learned some valuable things from each other. If you've not gone back to listen to the podcast, you can go to our Facebook page and you can click on and you can listen what we taught each other by participating in this demonstration. Now, I want to add to the demonstration just a few thoughts. This is what it takes for us to become fully alive, fully mature. It takes, first of all, an incarnate and risen King. You see, we cannot represent the full image of Jesus without Jesus. I mean, Connor, that was the first thing that he said, well, this is Jesus. That's right. Without Jesus, that word sunk. But there's two things about Jesus in this passage. One, he climbed down. Two, he climbed up. So we need both a king who would become like us, a king that would come to us. Again, I love to remind myself, so I like to remind you as well. Religion is about getting ourselves somewhere higher than where we are. Christianity, faith, is about a God who came from high above to us so that we could follow him back up. That's what makes following Jesus unique. There is no other faith on the planet where God became a man so that he would accommodate himself to us, that he would become like us so that we then could follow him and become like him. He showed us the path. He's the path setter. So we need that incarnate. You can't have an incarnate God becoming man event. That's what we celebrate at the Christmas season. But it doesn't stop there, because we also have to have a risen king. I mean, Jesus realized that with the fall of man, the curse of Adam, that we would die. And that when we're dead, we'd be really dead. And so he had to show us that the path is through resurrection. That what happened in the events that we're going to celebrate this week, this is our destiny. Every tomb, it doesn't matter, close to the wall is a Muslim cemetery. Coming down the hill, those are Jewish. It doesn't matter. All of those tombs, every body there is going to be resurrected. Some will be resurrected to life. Others will be resurrected to death. But there's going to be resurrection. Every body. How do you say that and understand that? Every body is going to be raised. Just like Jesus' body was raised. The one who climbed down is the one who climbed up. And because of that, that begins this process that we can be formed into his image. It takes a victorious king. I don't know if you caught this, but he captured the enemy and he seized the booty. There's something of the victory of Jesus in his incarnation, his death, and his resurrection. And my friends, you and I are the booty. We won't go into all the details, but just know this, that you and I were held captive by someone else. And by Jesus becoming like us, by his incarnation, and then by his death, and then by his descent, and then by his ascent, his resurrection, he won us back. He got us back. We're now his by what he's accomplished. He's the victorious king. And that victorious king is a generous king. And he has filled heaven and earth with his gifts. See, our planet is not the same as it was before these events. God became a man. God ascended again. And he has filled in that his gifts. His grace now fills our earth, now fills the heavens, now fills the universe. That's really positive, isn't it? And with that fullness of his grace filling earth and heaven, he hands out gifts to his people. Each of us is given his or her own gift, the grace of Jesus. This victorious king, this generous king, this incarnate risen king, he has now graced our life. He has placed something supernatural within us. It's both the person of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. He has distributed that to each and every one of us. That was a big part of our demonstration last week. We could not have put this together without every part playing its part. We all had a part to play. And we do, in a spiritual sense today, each and every one of us sitting in this room as a follower of Jesus, as someone who has said, Jesus, I want to follow you. Jesus, I want to worship you as the risen Lord. You have been given a measure of his grace. You have been given gifts to be used for his purposes. Every single person in this room, and it even includes our kids. So everybody that's a follower of Jesus, he's handed out gifts. Now, he emphasizes some of those gifts in this passage. These are the gifts of our King. Now, what I want to focus on may be a little bit different than maybe you've heard about, and so I'm going to have to justify it a little bit so you know I'm not crazy leading you totally astray into something new. I'm going to focus on the gifts he hands out, not the office. I'm not going to focus on ecclesiology. I'm going to focus on grace. I'm going to focus on fruit. I'm not going to focus on function. I'm going to focus on grace, not law. Now, the reason I'm going to do that is this. It's not merely the fact of the institution of the offices that he wishes to bring into view in this passage, but the fact that these are gifts to the church. Christ gave the persons. The church appointed the office. Another writer says this. Bless you. The emphasis in this passage does not lie on the apostles and prophets, etc., as officers, but as gifts of Christ to his church. The apostles were not in any sense intended to be ecclesiastical officers. They were merely messengers. They were not vested with authority over life and doctrine, but merely endowed with special spiritual gifts. If they exercised any authority at all, it's not official, it's organic, it's spiritual, it's ethical. In order for the church to be strong, it must not only have good leaders, but also good active followers. Full salvation cannot be obtained until all, underline, capitalized, all of God's children obtain it together. So what does that mean? That means this, that he handed out gifts to each and every one of them. That's us. He handed out gifts to us. And the gifts that he handed out that he's emphasizing here are gifts of apostles, gifts of prophets, gifts of evangelism, gifts of pastors, gifts of teachers, gifts given to people. He's not talking about in every church there needs to be the office of the apostle, the office of the prophet. He's not talking about that here. He's talking about there's these gifts that Jesus has handed out to us sitting in this room right now. And when all of us understand that we are the recipients of these gifts, and all of us realize that we participate in the equipping of the body of Christ for service, oh my. You see, some of us have this sending, going, making disciples of the nation, reproducing gift. And so if the grace of Jesus is operating in our community, this is the kind of community we'll be. Ascending, going, making disciples of the nations, reproducing community. That's going to be happening here. Not because there's an individual that we would be calling the apostle. There's not the apostle here. It's the gift. It's not an office. It's the gift of Jesus working here. Now, sometimes when that going is cross-culturally, the signs and the wonders will follow. That's what he does. As the good news goes, across every border, across every nation, across every tribe. There's ways we live this out. Benji went for an interview, some of you know this, in Columbus, Ohio. And he's asking, you know, what Jesus, what are you doing? You know, are you sending me? And we as a community, we have a gifted, talented, wonderful guy. Sure, you know, he doesn't want to be up here. He wants to be back there. He doesn't want to be seen. He doesn't like me being taught. He doesn't like this. But from my perspective, as I watch what happens on Sunday mornings, we have a guy that I would consider like the best. Operating our sounds and this and that. And so as a community, if this grace is with us, then we're glad to send our best to someone else. That's what it means for the grace of Christ to be at work among us. So we could even send somebody like Benji with tears, but we would send him. We don't know yet. You can pray for Benji. He has a big decision to make. Prophetic gifts. I don't know of a gift or an office that's maybe more misunderstood than the office of the prophet. The prophetic gift is about listening. It's about seeing. It's something that happens to an individual in relationship with God. They hear something. They see something. And then they do what God tells them to do with what they hear and what they see. It's about listening, seeing, and doing out of obedience. It's not somebody that gets up and is boastful and proud and knows stuff that nobody else knows. That's not what it's about at all. So are we a community that's striving to listen? You know, part of what Jonah was doing in leading us in worship today is trying to get us to listen. What is Jesus saying to us as a community? What is Jesus revealing? What is he showing? And then what are we going to do with that? Are we going to really obey him? Is that the kind of community we are? The gifts of evangelists. It's the delivery. It's the delivery of the good news of the kingdom with demonstration to our neighbors and the nations. It's not about saving people. It's not about I saved so many. Aren't I great? I give a call and everybody, that's not about that at all. Salvation is totally in the hands of the Spirit of God. Totally. What the job of the evangelist is to deliver the good news. Go demonstrate it. Go declare the good news of the kingdom of God. And then people respond. And the salvation of an individual is the beginning of something even bigger. It's a doorway you walk through to something much bigger. Is this community doing its job? Because the grace of Jesus has handed out the gifts of evangelists so that we are demonstrating, declaring, delivering the good news of the kingdom to the nations of the world and to our neighbors. The gift of pastors. That's not me. Do I have that gifting? Yes. But no. Not just my job. It's our job. It's caring, leading, inviting, willing to sacrifice for others. That's the type of community that's pastoral. Are we a pastoral community? Yes, we have pastors among us. Yes. But the grace, the gifts of Christ were distributed to his people. And this is how it's lived out. Teachers. What's that grace of teaching? It's that others learn. Oh, that those that were in the office of teaching would get it. It's not that they just teach. You know, I was in a setting one time, it's so bizarre. I can demonstrate this. I walked into this living room, it was a small group setting. Two volunteers, please. Randy, oh, you look so willing. Sophia, would you like to come sit right here? I mean, it was this small. And here was the teacher teaching. And here were the whatever listening. Guess what? The grace of Jesus wasn't there. Because the gift of teaching is that people learn. It's not that teachers teach, it's that people learn. Did you learn anything from this, Sophia? No, don't ever call me up here again. That's what I learned. Thank you. Thank you. If you're serving as a teacher, your job is that others learn. Not that you have the lesson plan. Not that you have the knowledge. Are people really learning? Are people doing what they're learning? And then are people teaching others? Is that the kind of community we are? Are we learning from each other? Are we doing what we're being encouraged to do? And then are we passing it on to others? This is the grace of Jesus at work in the body of Christ. This is how the body of Christ is equipped to do every good work. It's not just five individuals that show up and serve in an office. It's all of us receiving what Jesus distributes to us through the gifts that he mentions here, and they're all active here. So do you have a part to play in the maturity of the body of Christ? Do you have a part to play in the Church of Jesus Christ becoming fully developed? Do you have a part to play in the full image standard of Jesus coming to view? Yes, we all have a part to play. Every one of us is crucial. It won't happen without all of us participating. Now you may ask, well then how do I know? How do I know that I am? Well, just do what naturally, supernaturally comes to you to do. Jesus is, he's totally aware that we are ordinary people. But the supernatural person of the Holy Spirit lives within ordinary people. And so what you and I tend to be drawn to, he's going to empower that. And it's going to be something in these areas. Some of us are apostolic. Some of us are prophetic. Some of us are evangelistic. Some of us are pastoral. Some of us are teaching. And then it can swap. We can all do, it's very dynamic. It's not static. We're not going to assign people, Andy the apostle, because your name starts with A. Kind of like that, maybe. So may God be God here. And may the body of Christ be equipped, because all of us are participating in that. So I've got some suggestions. One, as I go through this season, as I go through, we just walking with us through what this Sunday is meant to be and the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. As I look at this passage of Jesus handing out gifts, it's just so clear, and I just want to suggest, let's focus our exaltation and our thanksgiving on Jesus. I mean, he is the one that's generous. He's the one that gives the gifts. Let's folk as a community of people. If we're going to exalt anyone, let's exalt Jesus. And if we're going to give thanks to anybody, let's give thanks to Jesus, because this is what he's doing. Let's also freely receive every gift he gives. I mean, for us to be a community that has arms wide open, that we recognize that if we are to become the full image and stature of Jesus, we can't do that without him giving us the grace, the graces, the gifts to accomplish it. So we all, every one of us, need to be receptive. And again, he's interested in us as a community of people, so that if I'm resisting receiving grace, guess what? It's affecting us. When I receive that grace and I operate, it affects us. One's positive, one's negative. Everybody, you know, we can't just say, well, we'll just let them do it. It's us. It's us or not at all. And finally, I mean, let's go after the full stature of Christ Jesus. I mean, let's go after the fullness. And this is a suggestion. I don't know what your favorite beverage is. I don't need to know. You don't need to. But when you drink your favorite beverage this week, every time you drink it, I want you to fill it up, I mean, absolutely positively to the brim, like it's about to spill. No half full. I mean to the brim. And every time you do that, and every time you drink your favorite beverage, think, you know, Jesus, I don't want to settle for a half cup full. I don't want the body of Christ to just halfway show who you are. I really want there to be a full measure of you through us. So let the cup, whatever that beverage is, reminds you of what he wants to do in us and through us. The other example, you're going to have at least another person. Because I want you to pick out whatever your favorite cookie is. That's a tough one for me, because I like them all. But I want you sometime this week to go buy your favorite cookie, and I want you to find one other person, because now you got to divide that cookie. And you got to give half of it away and enjoy eating that cookie. You see, we can't have the fullness of what Jesus has for us without inviting others to share with what we got. So those are two ways that you and I can be reminded this week, hey, we want the full measure of Jesus. We as a community want to see Jesus for fully who he is. We want to be fully alive like Jesus. But at the same time, there's a whole world of people that have never seen Jesus. And we don't want Jesus just to be considered a building where people gather. We want people to see Jesus for who he is, for who he is in our lives. We want the fullness of Jesus to be seen for a world that's desperately in need of seeing Jesus. Last thing, this is a great week. I trust that every morning when you wake up, that you spend a little time thinking about what Jesus was accomplishing for us during this final week of his ministry and his life. I trust that you will, you know, participate in as many things this week as your schedule will allow so that you can keep remembering what Jesus has done for us. And then I trust that we can be back together next Sunday and that we can just really, really have an enthusiastic celebration of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. Our kids may or may not be done by now. We do not get to see what they've been working so hard on today, but by next week, they're going to show us, again, a demonstration of what they're doing. I would like to ask you to stand, and I'd like us to pray. I do want to invite you, as I'm going to say a closing prayer, but some of you may want additional ministry, and the ministry of the day is what Jesus has said. He wants to hand out gifts to his people. And so if you just desire the grace of Jesus to come into your life, sometimes it's really helpful to invite someone to pray for you. If you come receptive, he'll deliver. He's good about that. So we'll do that over in this part of the room as people are saying goodbye. If you'd like additional ministry, please stay, and we'll do that. Well, Jesus, we want to exalt you. There is no name higher. And we exalt the high name of Jesus because there's no name that's ever been lower. Thank you that you've gone to the depths of despair for us. Thank you that you accommodated yourself to us. Thank you that you became like us in every way. And thank you that you even experienced death, which none of us in this room have ever experienced, but you've experienced that for us. You did that so we wouldn't have to. Wow. Jesus, we exalt you. We thank you this day. We thank you for the celebration of this week where we celebrate not only the triumphal entry today, but we celebrate your last week of life and ministry on this earth. We celebrate that you gave your all for us. How could we ever say thank you that you died? For us. But you were raised to life. So Lord, make this a rich and full week for us. Lord, I thank you that we are the body of Christ. That you're the head, that we're the members of your body. And I pray that you would hand out gifts among us and that you would stir up, Lord, the gifts that equip the body of Christ to do the work of ministry. Continue, Lord, to make us receptive to the grace that you're giving to us. Activate that grace in your power and your presence. As we give you thanks for this day, as we celebrate you, in your name we pray.